Watto, said Ting. How are you doing, you lot out there? Gosh, I guess you are now the proud owners of the very first little box set of the re-released singles from Iron Maiden. Well, I've got to say this. Welcome to Not A Lot Of People Know That, Part 1. Because I'm about to tell you a few stories now and in the next 9 releases of this year box sets over the next period of the next 10 weeks. Now, look here. First of all, my goodness, it's 10 years, almost to the day. My little chickadees out there. Oh, you've got your grubby little hands on Running Free, Burning Ambition. Oh, gosh, the very first single, Sanctuary and Drifter and I've Got the Fire. The second single, gosh. The first one was released, as I said, almost 10 years to the very day on February the 8th, 1980. God, dear. Here, I'll tell you something, right? You know Harry? Harry Harris, right? He had a band called Gypsy's Kiss. He's disgusting, isn't he? You know what that rhymes with, don't you? Well, if you don't, I'm not going to tell you anyway. So there. He had this song called Burning Ambition, which I suppose was a real sort of drive for Harry then, because he was, you know, full of ambition to get his music out and play it to people. And he had this song, and he was in this band, Gypsy's Kiss. Well, they were, because they couldn't handle this song. And they turned around and said, Harry, you know, all these chord changes and time changes is he famous for. Now, I should know. Come on, give us a break. So he took the song to the band and they've gone, oi, Harry, Gypsy's Kiss off, will ya? I can't play that. And he said, oi, I've had enough of this and I'm going to go and find some people that can. So Kiss you and all. So anyway, that's what he did. Not Kiss them. No, he did the other thing, you know, what it rhymes with. Off. Oh, I'll say he pissed off. So there you go. Whatever. Now, he went out and he formed a band and Burning Ambition was actually recorded late in 1979 and originally featured the original drummer, in fact, I think there was one guy before him, but Doug Sampson was on drums in those days. Dave double-tracked on guitars. I mean, you know, he double-tracked and all. He doesn't have to, though, does he? You know what I'm saying? Well, okay, Running Free as well was also the first artwork from Riggsy.
Riggsy.
Now, you know, I tell people I'm actually from another planet, you know, because I'm a bit off the wall. Well, I'll tell you, this boy owns the other planet. My goodness. No, God bless him, he's a diamond guy. I love him. What an artist. He first brought Eddie into the first sleeve on this, the Running Free single. And Eddie, if you remember rightly, was standing in the shadows. You never really saw him. But, oh, my goodness, he bought him out, didn't he? On the first album, all in his glory and splendour, Eddie comes out and goes, yeah, I'm here. So watch out, folks. Well, there, what can you say about it? Running Free, it's a song the band still to this day play. It's one of the truly great Iron Maiden songs. I mean, not only just because it was the first single, but what a crack. Yeah, now then, well, we've gone through that and Burning Ambition, as we talked about. On the other side, we've got Sanctuary, on the other single, rather. We've got Sanctuary, Drift Alive, and I've Got the Fire, old Montrose song. Well, this was the first top 30 entry, actually. It made number 29. And, you know, the boys were really happy. It was released 23rd of May 1980. God, dearie me, there's a couple within a few months of one another. You lucky boys and girls. Well, as I said, you got one every week for 10 weeks coming out here. This was recorded, by the way, the live Drifter and I've Got the Fire was recorded at the Marquee in April 1980. That was a good year. I got a good drop of wine at home made in 1980. Yeah, it's still got half a bottle left. It's really good. I've Got the Fire. It's an old Montrose song, as I said, and Steve liked this, so he recorded it live. And it used to be the set opener for the band in those days. But on the back of that, they kind of got into the deal of like not recording sort of Iron Maiden songs on the B-side. This was one of the beginnings of when B-sides were other people's songs that the band decided to play. Anyway, around this time, they didn't get a Top of the Pops, rotten buggers. Well, we all know why. It's a bleeding BBC, isn't it? Well, you know, we'll work out some sort of abbreviation for that later on. But anyway, they couldn't get on because there was some industrial action, you know, strikes and all that good stuff. You know, what the BBC usually like to do. You! He moved a broom. Well, is he a labourer? No, he didn't. Well, ain't. Well, that's it. We're going on strike. Put your teacups up to your face, lads. Let's go up to the canteen and have another drink. You know, whatever. Well, what can you say? Strikes all around. So the boys didn't get to play Top of the Pops. That's no biggie, you know. They never played a band anyway, do they? Poxy BBC. Crikey. Anyway, funny enough, around this time, it was the very first gig I ever did with Iron Maiden. No, not actually playing with them, like as a band, a full band. I played in a band called McKitty. And these guys in McKitty, a guy called Donovan McKitty and myself, we did a gig in Belgium. And it was, in fact, not a lot of people know this, but it was, in fact, Maiden's very first European gig. How about that? And I was there. So there. Stuff that up your kin pipe and smoke it, right? So there you go. I was really privileged to be there, and that's when I really first met the band, and we got on so well, we had such a riot. What can I say? Anyway, then you remember the Sanctuary Sleeve, you lot? Yeah, was that Maggie Thatcher? Whoa, can you believe it? She was there. So you know what she was trying to do? Stupid cow, she was trying to pull down an Iron Maiden poster off the wall. Well, what can you say about that? Not a lot, believe me. She was, I don't know why they called her the Iron Maiden, do you? Nothing like this. I know why. Maybe because she's like Eddie. Listen, by the way, I've got to tell you this. We'll stop real quick, all right? I mean, I'm running out of time on this one, but nevertheless. You remember Eddie, right? Well, because you remember Eddie. Well, this is the origin of Eddie, right? The band used to have this backdrop which featured a theatrical mast, and it sort of spat out all this red dye and smoke and all that gobbing stuff, and there's poor old Clive sitting under it getting gobbed on every night. Oi, what's all this is going? What's all this red, you know, all this shit coming over my head? I've had enough of that. Paint, anything you could find, anything they could find, they'd sling in it. Anyway, when they called him Eddie the Ed, see? And it's after an old East End joke which goes as follows. Yeah, Eddie was very unfortunate. He was born without a body. So, nevertheless, his parents loved him dearly and took him home and placed him on a mantelpiece one day. Well, his family gave him lots of love and attention, and he always got loads of presents on his birthday, kind of blowing things and hats and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, one year, he was about 16, and the hospital phoned up Eddie's parents, and they said to him, due to modern technology and all those good things that we can do with, all this stuff nowadays, we are now able to build Eddie a body. So, with this, the old parents were so excited, they couldn't believe it. And they couldn't wait to tell Eddie, I mean, this is it, you know, Eddie's going to have a body. However, as it was close to his birthday, they decided to tell the doctors to go ahead and build his body. And then they would surprise him. And, you know, it weren't far away from his birthday. They thought, oh, good birthday present. So anyway, a few weeks later, the big day arrived. Yes, Eddie's birthday. So his parents goes up to him, and I go out, walk up to the mantelpiece. Hello, Eddie. How you doing? This year is going to be the best birthday yet. Have we got something for you? Such a wonderful present. And his mum's going, oh, goodness, Eddie, we're so pleased. And Eddie's going, oh, no, said Eddie, not another fucking hat. Oh, I think it's funny. Yeah, it is. It's pretty good, isn't it? Anyway, after this, Derek came up with this, the creature, or Eddie and the body and that, on the record covers. And the name, it was just carried over, and the rest is history, isn't it? And Eddie's out there. Yeah, he's got to have a bit of nookie before long, that's all I can say.
Say, we ain't. Now look, if you want to leave your name and your number, and then again, if you don't want to leave your name and your number, it's up to you. Please do so after the proverbial home.